Trade Narrative, QQQ, P618, P613, May 15, 2026. First Person Reasoning Log. Written the 21st of April 2026, the day of entry. This version corrects factual errors from the original. POP was stated as 85%, but was approximately 79%. Net theta was stated as $1.33 per day, but was $1.21 per day. The $272 per month expected math counted gross wins only and was not an EV calculation. Why this strategy at all? I came into today with an empty $5,000 TastyTrade account and a question that had been sitting there for a while: what's the first trade I should actually put on? The research over the past weeks had produced two candidates. The first was the 0DTE XSP Calendar Iron Condor, the strategy inspired by Mark's Tasty Live Rising Star interview. Phase 0 and Phase 1 backtests looked beautiful on paper. SPX scale gave a sharp of 7.5 and 11.5% annual return. But two things kept me off it. One, the Phase 2 intraday simulation isn't built yet, so I don't actually know if the sharp holds up once you use real 5-minute bars instead of daily closes. Two, 2023 was a loss year at the $5,000 XSP scale, and the aggregate sharp hides that. Deploying real capital on a strategy with a known losing year, when I haven't yet stress-tested the assumptions, felt like moving too fast. The second was the equity put credit spread playbook we'd built from the two Tasty Live videos, Jim Schultz's 8 strategy rules, and the portfolio construction crash course. This is the strategy TastyTrade literally built itself on. It's older, more boring, better documented, and the parameters are well understood. 16 to 20 delta short put, 21 to 45 DTE, IVR is greater than or equal to, 30-50% take profit, 2 times stop loss. The edge per trade is small, the win rate is high, roughly 79 to 80% at the 16 to 20 delta band, and it's explicitly designed for small accounts with defined risk. This matched where I actually was, $5,000 account, first live trade, not trying to prove anything except that I can execute cleanly. So it was PCS first. XSP stays on the bench until phase 2 passes. Why an ETF? Not a single stock. The screener this morning pulled a full universe. MSFT, Meta, AAPL, Goog, NVDA, Uber, JPM, V, QQQ, IWM. The top 3 by score were all stocks: MSFT at IVR 90, Meta at 71, AAPL at 60. That IVR 90 on MSFT was the kind of thing you want to see. Volatility was elevated, meaning I'd be selling expensive premium. By raw numbers, MSFT was the pick. Then I checked earnings. MSFT was reporting April 29th, Meta the same day, AAPL April 30th, GOG April 29th, V April 28th, Uber May 6th. Every single stock on the board had an earnings report inside our May 15th window. Earnings risk on a short put is the fastest way to blow up a small account. A bad quarter can gap the stock 10% overnight, and your defined risk becomes realized loss because the gap leapfrogs the 2x SL trigger. That left 3 names clean. QQQ, no earnings ETF. IWM, no earnings ETF. And NVDA, earnings May 20th, after expiry. NVDA had IVR 34. Which technically passes the is greater than or equal to 30 threshold, but it's at the bottom of the band. Selling barely elevated volatility on a single stock with idiosyncratic risk, while I'm still a first-timer on this execution path, didn't feel worth it. QQQ at IVR 55 and IWM at IVR 45, both ETFs, both passed the checklist cleanly. Why QQQ specifically? If I'm only going to place one trade first, which the adversarial review later confirmed was the right call, QQQ wins over IWM for 3 reasons. IVR 55 vs 45, more premium available. QQQ has tighter bid slash ask spreads, which matters more than it sounds. For a 72 cents credit spread, a 5 cent spread eats 7% of the credit. And I know QQQ's personality better from staring at NDX and SPX charts for months. IWM stays as trade number 2 once I've proven the execution path works. Why these strikes, 618 and 613? Short at the 16 to 20 delta? At entry, QQQ was $647.36. The 618 put was delta 0.21, a hair above 0.20 but within the band. The 615 put was exactly 0.20, but credit was only around 57 cents. The 618 gave 72 cents credit and about 4.5% OTM, specifically $29.36 below spot, or 4.53%, which felt like the right trade-off. Enough distance that a normal 2-3% pullback doesn't touch the strike, enough credit that a 50% take profit of $36 actually matters. Width of 5 was non-negotiable. Our count is $5,000. 10 wide would be $1,000 risk per contract, or 20% of the account, on one trade. 5 wide equals $428 risk, equals 8.6%. We need room to stack 3-4 positions if things are quiet, so individual trades have to stay under 10%. Long at 613. 5 strikes below 618. This turns an unlimited loss naked put, $61,000 BPR, into a defined risk spread, $428 BPR. That single decision is the entire reason I can even place this trade in a margin account. What I expect this trade to do? Most likely outcome, in 10 to 14 days, QQQ is still somewhere between $640 and $660. The spread has decayed from 72 cents to around 36 cents, and I close it for plus $36. That's the 70% probability style outcome, not the full POP number, which includes ride to zero scenarios. Second most likely, QQQ drifts up, 618 never threatens, spread decays to near zero by expiration. I let it expire worthless for the full $72, happens about 15% of the time. Theta on this spread at entry was plus $1.21 per day. That's my paycheck. Roughly 1.7% of the total credit per day. Over 24 days, that would be about $29 of the $72 credit if every day were identical. In practice, theta accelerates closer to expiration, so the realized figure is higher, which is the whole point of the 50% PT rule. What will surprise me, if anything, is how much the spread mid moves against me on the first day, even when QQQ barely moves. The spread mid rose from 72 cents at fill to 77 cents within 10 minutes. That's not a real loss, it's the bid/ask widening, because the market maker hasn't synced both legs yet. But if I didn't know that, I'd see P&L day minus $5.50 after 10 minutes and panic. First lesson, ignore P&L drift on day zero. Come back tomorrow. What I expect this trade not to do. QQQ does not usually drop 5% plus in 24 days without a catalyst. There's no Fed meeting. No major earnings for mega cap names outside the tech giants I've already filtered around. The 618 strike is below the 20-day low. But if it does, if there's some macro event I haven't priced in, I will watch the 2x SL trigger, $1.44, and close. I will not roll down. I will not add more contracts at a lower strike. A rolled losing position is just a bigger losing position with more time to lose in, and this is the path that kills small accounts. If QQQ gaps below $615 overnight, the 2x SL gets bypassed. That's the tail risk. I'll take the loss at whatever the open is and write a post-mortem. This is the risk I'm explicitly accepting for the approximately 79% probability of profit. What I'm actually testing with this trade. This trade isn't really about making $36. If I was optimizing for return, I'd need to be running 10 plus of these simultaneously. This trade is about testing three things. Can I execute a spread correctly on the TastyTrade UI? Spoiler from the session, took 4 attempts, near miss on a naked put, a short strangle, and a double short put before I got it right. The execution lessons are now in memory/projectlivepcs_trades.md. Does the screener right pointing arrow IVR filter right pointing arrow earnings filter right pointing arrow strike selection pipeline produce trades that actually behave like the backtests? Does the daily Greek review give me signal or noise? I think it'll give signal, especially when theta starts accelerating past day 10. If all three of those work, I can deploy 3-4 simultaneous positions, and the $5,000 account starts doing something meaningful. If any of them don't work, this is cheap tuition. The adversarial reviews lesson. I almost skipped the adversarial review because the trade looked textbook clean on the screener. The review caught something I'd have missed. The strategy was sound, the position size was conservative, but the execution path was entirely unverified. Never place broker code, never place by me UI flow, pause, not block. That instinct was right. Four failed order attempts would have been one bad fill and a $100 plus lesson if I'd been clicking faster. The review cost me 10 minutes of writing and saved me from a sloppy mistake. I want to remember this for trade number 2, IWM. The checklist covers setup risk, but you need a separate gate for execution path risk. I've added an execution path verification section to the trade checklist as a standing rule. What closing looks like, and an honest expected return estimate. 50% PT trigger fires when the spread mid hits 36 cents. At that point, I close the whole spread as a single order, buy the 618, sell the 613, for a net debit of 36 cents. Realized profit, $72 credit minus $36 cost minus $4 fees, entry plus exit, equals $32 net. Here's the honest EV math, computed properly this time. At an approximately 79% win rate with $32 average net win and a 21% loss rate where a typical managed loss is $70, the 2x SL trigger closes at roughly $1.44 mid, so debit cost approximately $1.44 minus entry credit 72 cents equals $72 realized loss minus $4 fees equals $68, round to $70. Expected value per trade equals 0.79 times plus $32. That's 2.3% expected return per trade on capital deployed. Scale that by 10 simultaneous positions, averaging 10-day holding time, roughly 3 turnovers per position per month. 10 positions times 3 turnovers times $10 EV equals $300 per month expected, against $4, $280 of capital at risk. That's 7% monthly on capital at risk, roughly 80% annualized on that slice. But the account is $5,000 and half the capital is typically in cash, so account level annualized is closer to 35 to 40%. Still meaningful. Still worth doing. The earlier draft of this narrative overstated POP at 85% and used a gross wins only calculation that ignored the loss side entirely, both corrected now. The real edge is thinner than the first pass suggested, but it's still real. First one down, now I wait.